Well, welcome to the Repos Isthmian Preview Show. And of course, we're here for the next hour. And of course, we'll be having a look at all the games that we picked for this weekend. And hopefully, it won't be too much of postponement bingo and we'll get a few of these games played over the weekend. But holding up much hope, boys?
No, not really, to be honest.
I mean, literally, how many are we expected to actually to be on over the weekend?
I think it'll be difficult. It depends. I mean, I've been a bit through today. It wasn't even a snowflake. So it depends what part of the country it is, I suppose. But I'm not holding out too much hope.
It's going to be interesting. I've seen there's our star game tonight, which of course is Marlow against Chess, and that's got a 10 o'clock pitch inspection as well. So that'll be interesting to see if that one survives straight up.
That normally means it's off then, doesn't it?
Yeah, they were called off during the week, weren't they? Wednesday, I think it was, been 7 days on.
Certainly going to be an interesting one. But interesting week for both of you guys. I see your game's already been called off, Dean, already for tomorrow.
Yeah, we had a good result Saturday. Trained well Tuesday and Thursday. But yeah, obviously woke up this morning, there was snow everywhere. And yeah, sensible decision by the league to sort of common sense took place, really.
I mean, where are you looking to go and see a game tomorrow, or are you just going to start home and keep warm?
No, I'll probably see the kids. And like I said, I've been on the phone for 3 weeks non-stop. So, probably spend a bit of time with the kids and family tomorrow.
So while we're waiting for people to join us, I mean, how's it actually going at Welling?
Yeah, really well, mate. Obviously, we're still unbeaten. Had a really good result against Berkeley on Saturday. Yeah, we signed a couple of players during the week, so we're pleased with those. And just like everyone, just itching to get back out there now.
Yeah. Paul, interesting week?
Same old, mate. Bit of coaching with the kids and working and stuff like that. But I shall have a look at what's on tomorrow before I make the decision on where to go.
Yeah. Well, evening to you as well, Lee. We was hoping that Mick O'Shea was going to join us tonight, but unfortunately, we just couldn't get him on. We couldn't find him to get him to come on, which is unfortunate, but we'll try and get him on at a later date. But I think Keith's conversation, Keith's tweet and everything else on Monday night, I think has caused a bit of a stir. And I know he's, I haven't spoken to him today, but I know he had a conversation with the Referees Association yesterday, and by the sounds of things from a tweet that he's already put out today, it sounds like it was a positive conversation.
Yeah, I see that in the week. It's it's something that needs to be looked at, and fair play to Keith for pushing it. It's something that needs to be sorted for their sake, for everybody's sake, really, because they do get abuse. And maybe if they've got a little bit more training and help along the way, that maybe will cut down on the amount of abuse they have to put up with, because it's not pleasant.
No, I mean, I've seen, you know, I think the downside to it all, I suppose, was the fact that a lot of people sort of reading into it and, you know, really sort of making the wrong assumption to what he was trying to say and what he was physically trying to get across. You know, I saw somebody from the North League and I saw somebody from one of the other leagues as well, and they were talking on there and chatting on there, but completely missing the point that Keith was trying to put forward.
Yeah, it's one of them, isn't it? It's, people read things wrong all the time. He just wants the best for everybody. So, let's be honest, what do we speak about most of the time? It's referees, isn't it? So if we can try and rectify that, or at least push them in the right direction, then it's got to be good for everybody.
Well, I think so. And I wish him all the best of it, I must admit. So it's one of the first games then we'll have a look at then. And if I turn my book over and get it on the right page to start, I mean, it might be a help, mightn't it? I suppose the first one we'll look at then is AFC Hornchurch versus Corinthian Casuals. Interesting game.
Yeah, I mean, AFC Hornchurch lost again, didn't they, last Saturday? Down for a bit of a bad patch. Yeah, they need to win, basically. Otherwise, they might drop in the bottom three by the end of the day. Mm.
Yeah, look, it's not gone quite to plan, I don't think, for Mark or Hornchurch. I think he was expecting to go in there. And normally, when you get the new manager in, you get the new manager bounce a little bit, don't you? It's a different situation to Dino's. Dino's has a game of three players. He'd do well to get much of a bounce. but you know, he's gone in, and I think I said it last week, maybe he's gone in and made too many changes at once, and perhaps could be their undoing. Be a shame, because they've worked so hard and for so long to get out of one and into the back into the Premier, and you know, it could all be undone. Yeah, it's a massive, massive game. Harlow picking right up, another great result at the weekend, which has dragged them out of the bottom three. Wingate looked like they're starting to pull themselves up a little bit as well. Got a draw, I think, didn't they, at the weekend?
Yeah, got a last-minute penalty, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's all about trying to gain a little bit of momentum this time of the season. And psychologically, once you get yourself out of that bottom three, it should help.
So, I mean, with that, I mean, Crimping Casuals first, you know, sort of first year up there for some time as well, and they're not doing too badly up there, up on the top end there, are they?
No, they've done well. They've come into the league, and there's always a lot of talk about Crimping Casuals, and they have no budget and things like that. So, whether that's true or not, who knows? But they've done well, and yeah, fair play to them.
Yeah, I mean, they concede a lot of goals, but like I said, they've not got the biggest budget. It's difficult in that league. It's such a massive jump up. We did it when I was at Waltham Abbey with Glenn Howes of PD. We had a budget of £600 a week, and we played Dartford, who had an £8,000 a week budget. And it's, you know, the differences are huge. So they've got to try and more than likely do it on a little bit of team spirit and togetherness that they've grown over the last couple of seasons. So, you know, fair play to them there. They're pretty safe at the moment.
Well, the main man himself, Mr. McMahon, is watching. So perhaps if he wants to drop us a little bit of a message to let us know how it went with his conversation. But to say from what he's put on Twitter, it looked like it was a pretty good one. But I mean,
he could be our special guest, Dave.
He could be our special guest. Yeah, we could sneak him on. Yeah. But in all fairness, I mean, with that though, I mean, are you worried about Hauntress? I know me and Keith were talking about it the other night. I mean, a lot of draws, you know. I mean, if they turn those draws into wins, they'd be in that, playoff places. It's just...
Yeah, I mean, with Mark, if there's one manager who knows what he's doing, it's definitely Mark, isn't it? So, you don't manage in League One and League Two if you don't know what you're doing. So, he knows what to do. He's just obviously got to do it in the next 10, 15 games.
Do you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think there's any more experienced manager around, is there? He does know his stuff. Like I say, you know, talking of the amount of changes they've made, is maybe it wasn't the best thing to do so quickly. It maybe should have been a little bit more organic. But like I say, look, Dino's just sitting out on the edge. Who am I? He knows exactly what he's doing. He's been around. He's done it. He's been there. He's done it. He's won the trophy. So, you know, hopefully they'll get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Keith's just come back. He said, "Hi, mate. It went very well. We're speaking for about an hour with them. They agree with a lot I said and came up with some good ideas. So fingers crossed that they take those on board, because you know, the man's only trying to help, and he's just trying to help these referees and get to a situation where it'll be help for them. So let's hope that they take on board what the man himself has said to them.
Yeah, fingers crossed, mate. Fingers crossed. It'll be good for everybody.
So do you think Mark, with his experience, they will turn the situation around with Hornchurch?
I do. Personally, I do. Like I say, in hindsight, he probably made too many changes too quickly. But yeah, like two wins in there, sort of mid-table again. So I know it's easily said than done. But I think he'll have enough contacts in the game to go and strengthen if he needs to strengthen between now and the end of the season.
A lot hinges on tomorrow, doesn't it? If you look at, if they get beat and then Wingate win and they get sucked into that bottom three, then again, as we said, psychologically, it's how they react. But again, there's no one better at it. There's no one better and more experienced than Mark to get them out of it. So, yeah, I believe they'll get out of it. It's just going to be a tough road.
Well, I've just had a message from Hussein from Harlow Town. He says, "My regards to Paul Wickenden. Hopefully he'll be with a club very soon, I'm sure. Will come for him soon, top manager."
Thank you, H.
So there we go. So who knows? Great Wakering Rovers are looking for somebody, aren't they? Only up the road.
Well, up the road from where?
South End, you'll be able to get there. It's not a problem at all. So Cooper said he will let
has
us.
It been official? Has it been made official yet, Dave?
What's that? Right, he's left. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. So Cooper said, "I will let everybody know on Monday what was said in detail, but the FA has stitched the refs up too as well with massive budget cuts." So Keith will, as I say, I'll be back with Keith on Monday night. The Halsey boys will be joining us. Of course, Paul and Mark will be joining us. Mark Halsey, of course, ex-Premier League referee as well. So that'll be interesting. And he's come up with some of the same ideas as what Keith had. So it'll be an interesting conversation with Mark on Monday. So
Paul's a character. So you enjoy that one.
So where do we see this one going?
I fancy Hornchurch this weekend, obviously, if it's on. I just think, Corinthian casual, sort of mid-table. Hornchurch, you could probably say, got a little bit more to play for. I fancy Hornchurch to win 2-1.
Hornchurch to win 2-1. I'm doing a Glen, and I'm sitting on the fence and going 1-1.
Yeah, I think the fact is that Hornchurch will play a big advantage. I'm going to go 3-1 Hornchurch.
3-1 Hornchurch. Okay then, so moving on to the next game then, and I suppose this one's going to be a right big old game. Dorking versus Felixstowe. Where do you see this one going? I mean, Felixstowe, not a decent side. Dorking just gone back top of the table this weekend as well, so it's going to be a right old toughie for Dorking for their first game back at the top of the league.
Yeah, Dorking are flying, aren't they? They look like they're the team. I think Dean's spoken about them a few times, that they're going to be strong. Is it Folkestone or Felixstowe, mate?
So it's Felixstowe. Sorry, my fault.
They're right near the midst of the playoffs, aren't they? So it's a bit of a ding dong. And they'll know Dorking will know that Haringey are chasing them. So big game. Mm.
Yeah, Dorking had a good win again last week, didn't they? So do Folkestone, to be fair, to beat Kingstonian. So, two good clubs, good support. I still think Dorking will win the league. I've said that the whole time. And anyone who finishes above them will win the league.
Well, just looking at their form, Folkestone drew 0-0 away to Burgess Hill, beat Hornchurch 5-0, lost to Bracknell 4-1, lost to Brightlingsea 2-0, and then beat Kingstonian 2-0, 8 goals for, 6 against. Dorking, they drew 1-1 with Whitehawk, then beat Worthing away 4-1, beat Harlow 5-3, beat Enfield Town 1-0, and then beat Potters Bar 2-0, 13 goals for, 5 against. When they played each other, it's 3 wins to Dorking and 1 win to Folkestone, 9 goals for them and 7 against. It sounds like it could be quite an...
as well, isn't it, Dorking?
Mm.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Obviously you're not meant to brush the snow off, are you, off them?
No.
You're meant to leave them on there, is that right?
Because you take off all the black rubber or the cork.
They're going to be reliant on it melting away, or it's raining over there, or whatever it may be. So, again, we've said it before, it'll always play a part. And they look very strong at home. And there'll be a big old crowd in there, I'd have thought. I think Dorking will march on and win.
Mm. Yeah, I'm in agreement with Paul. I think 3-1 to Dorking.
Wow, he's going 3-1. He's going big.
I'm going to go 4-1 Dorking.
Really?
Well, I'm on the Astro as well.
Yeah, I've got a feeling for Felixstowe to have an upset and turn them over by 2-1. There you go.
Dave, you love Felix though tonight, don't you?
Yeah, they're going to turn him over. Keith said, "Set fire." Keith has said, "Set fire to it."
That one,
yeah.
That's a great shout.
You know why I keep saying Felix? Because I've actually written that down on my pad instead of Folkestone. That's why.
Debbie's delighted, mate. They've just been promoted.
Yeah, I told you they were a good side.
They were, mate, when we went there.
So, moving on then, Ashford against Sevenoaks. Now, this one's going to be an absolute humdinger because there's no love lost between these two sides, let me tell you. So, this one's going to be, a right humdinger, I think. I think it's going to be I don't know, if there's 11v11 left at the end of the game, I think there'll be a big surprise.
Yeah, yeah, and Ashford are one of the only teams who can probably catch Cray Wanderers, aren't they? So they just got to keep winning, like we spoke about last week. Keep winning and keep putting the pressure on them. Mm. But yeah, Seven Oaks are doing well. They've got a chance of getting in the playoffs as well. So yeah, like you say, it should be a good game.
Paul?
Yeah, I mean, like I say, Ashford are doing ever so well, as Dino's just said. And, you know, they're going to want to keep their momentum going. Still think Cray will run away with it in the end. They're going to do really well with anyone to catch them. But, you know, stranger things have happened. It'd be interesting to see. But maybe we should just have a vote on how many sending offs there's going to be. One of them games rather than the score. And again, I don't know whether there's been a huge amount of snow in Kent or not, but you know, yeah, Ashford look like they'll win the game on their league position and form.
Well, I'm looking at this. I mean, Seven Oaks, they lost to Cray Wanderers by a goal to nil, beat Herne Bay 2-1, they beat Faversham 4-1, drew 0-0 with Hive, and then drew 3-3 with East Grinstead in the last game. 9 goals for, 6 against. Ashford, they beat Faversham 4-0 away. They lost 2-0 at home to Hastings, beat Winstable Town 2-0 at home, beat Greenwich Borough 7-0 at home, and then beat Three Bridges 1-0 away. 14 goals for, 2 against. Previous games, when they played each other last time in a reverse fixture, Seven Oaks won by a goal to nil.
Yeah, Ashford for me, mate, even though we've got the stats and the recent former, I'm going for a 2-0 win for Ashford.
Yeah, they don't concede many Ashford at all, do they? They've not even conceded a goal a game. Mm. So, yeah, I think it'll be Ashford. I think it'll be 1-0.
Second best defence in the league, I think.
Well, I'm going to be a bit biased because he's the Seven Oaks chairman that sponsors us, so I'm going 2-1 to Seven Oaks.
Oh, man, cheers for sponsoring us.
There we go. And Keith McMahon has just said they've just signed Jay May as well, Ashford as well. I saw that on Twitter today as well, so interesting. So that's the next one, Cray Wanderers versus Herne Bay. Can Herne Bay turn it round again and pull another shock out of the bag?
Well, we said no last week, didn't we? And we were very
wrong. Yeah. What a great win for them.
4-1 as well. Amazing.
Yeah. I think so good, he's still celebrating the win. That's why he ain't turned up tonight.
He's still at the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, it's they'll be buzzing, won't they? They'll be absolutely buzzing from last week, and I think all of us were shocked. I think it was all over our WhatsApp page, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Since it happened, you know, you can't odds them. I'm waiting for him to text in to tell us the what he thinks the score is, and I'm going with that.
Yeah, he hasn't done it yet, so I'm just keep looking, but he hasn't done it yet.
Keep talking, just
keep talking. But the form, just so you know, is Herne Bay. They beat Hive 3-1. They beat Sittingbourne 3-2. They lost 2-1 at home to Seven Oaks. They beat Greenwich Borough 7-2 and they beat Hastings 4-1. So that's some great results in the last couple of games. 18 goals for, 8 goals against. Cray Wanderers, they beat Seven Oaks 1-0, beat Three Bridges 1-0, beat East Grinstead 2-0. Say it softly because he's watching. They beat VCD 3-1 and Faversham, they drew 1-1 last time out. 8 goals for, 2 against. They're head-to-head. When they played each other previously in the season, it was Herne Bay 1, Cray Wanderers 2. And they played each other 5 times in the last couple of years. 4 wins to Cray, 1 win to Herne Bay.
Definite Cray Wanderers win.
Yeah,
you're not so sure, Paul, are you? You're not so sure.
You can't have a go, Cray. They're strong. They're so strong.
Yeah. I know they drew last week as well, Cray, didn't they? I think 1-1. So, yeah, they'll be looking to bounce back today. Herne Bay had a great win last week, but I'm going for Cray. 3-1 to Cray.
3-1 Cray.
Yeah, I think we have to agree with Dean. We have to go same, I'm afraid.
3-1
to Cray.
3-1.
Okay. It means Herne Bay will win.
Well,
yeah,
in that case,
psychology, that's what we do.
In that case, Herne Bay 1, Cray Wanderers 0. There you go. But moving into the Jigsaw League, South Park versus Northwood. South Park, one of those teams that were really struggling, you know, at the bottom of the table, and now all of a sudden they've just taken off, haven't they? They just seem to have been getting some really, really good results of late.
Yeah, I think they've won three or four on the bounce, so fair play to them. They've sort of given themselves a great chance of staying up. When we played them early in the season, they were a good side, good young side. I think we played them just after their manager got sacked or left, and we were 2-0 up at half time and could have been 6 or 7. And then second half, they absolutely hammered us second half, and we drew 2-2. So, yeah, good side who need enough points to stay up. So it should be a good game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know a huge amount about South Park. Norfolk, we played them in the Trophy. Difficult place to go. Obviously, the guy's gone in, took over from Dean, and I think they've been a bit up and down, haven't they, since Dean left. Again, it's a toss of coin one, isn't it, really, with this one. I'm going to go with recent form. I think South Park might actually win.
Wow. Okay. Dean?
Yeah, I think it'd be a draw, because obviously Norfolk seem to be at the moment win one, lose one. I think it'd be a draw on Saturday, maybe 1-1.
Okay, go 1-1.
We'll go 2-1 South Park.
2-1 South Park. I'm gonna go for a draw as well. I'm gonna go for the 1-1 draw as well. But I mean, moving on then, I suppose, on to the North Division, and I suppose the North Division is getting very interesting, you know, with Bowers sort of turning over Averley last week and a few others. But, I mean, Maldon against Bury, I mean, where do we see that one?
Maldon made two great signings the last week as well. Jerome, who I had with me at Norfolk, he'll score goals. And obviously Liam, who played for Paul at Chesham, he'll score goals as well. So they're obviously putting in their hand in their pocket to make a few signings to try and get them over the line.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, they're right up there, aren't they? And 6 points off Bowers. It's such a difficult league to call this year, and a great league. I think it's been brilliant this year for everybody involved. Obviously, Averley have lost a little bit of ground in terms of their confidence, I would have thought. I mean, obviously, you've been there, Dave, but they've just started of late, haven't they?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, literally, you know, I say the Bowers game, as I said on Monday night, you know, with the Bowers game, it should have been, you know, Bowers deserved to win the game. In all fairness, you know, Averley should have been down to 10 men as well. So, listen, it's one of those things, not necessarily in the greatest of, you know, greatest of form at the minute, and then drawing with Barking midweek as well. And then they go to Canvey Island tomorrow, possibly. And then they've got Romford at home on Monday night while we're doing the show. So it's going to be you know, a couple of difficult games for Averley coming up as well. But it's very sort of, as you say, nip and tuck, win a couple and you're back up the second, lose a couple and you're dropping out of the playoffs. So there's a lot of good teams in that league, and anybody is going to take those playoff places, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, to be fair, the top four are almost nailed on, aren't they, at the moment? Yeah, there's 11 points in it. Coggeshall and Bury and even Canvey have snuck up there that maybe could nick the last place in the playoffs.
Mm.
What was his remit, Dave, at Averley? Do you know? Was it promote? Was it playoffs? Was it win the league? Or I think just get him up any.
If I'm honest, I would expect that it would be that, you know, to get him up. I would have thought. Whether that would be playoffs or, you know, automatic, I don't know. But, you know, he's certainly been backed, I think, by everybody, you know, in the club. I don't think there's anything you can say that he hasn't. I mean, he's brought in some, you know, really, really good players as well. So he's certainly, you know, James and Chris have certainly been backed by, you know, Graham and Craig. So
we just have to look. I think you've got to look at it whatever way. He's done a great job there since he's gone in.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's gone in and they're, you know, probably one of the favourites for the division at the start. And I think that speaks volumes because realistically, yeah, they've gone in the new ground and everything like that. But, you know, Averley have always sort of, in recent years, have been a side that has sat around that mid-table, haven't they?
Yeah. Do you think that's something else, though? When, you know, when you've got a side maybe like Maldon and you've got a side like You know, likes of Avely and Bowers and that, you know, they're all these ones that are sort of favourites as such to win, you win the league, that people do sort of, it's their cup final when they turn up?
Yeah, I mean, we had it at Chesham, Dave. You know, I took over at Chesham and they were sitting in 14th place. We went from 14th to challenge for a playoff place and everybody had us up for being favourites to win the league the next season. We were top until Christmas. Got a few injuries, but 100% people come and play you. They want to beat you. They want to knock you off your pedestal. There's no two ways about that. And then you've got to show some character as a group of players and a management and keep everybody level-headed. It's I think we've said it many, many times. It's tough. It's tough when you're up there. It's difficult when you're down the bottom, of course, but when you're up there and everybody wants to knock you off your perch, and that's why you look at what Rob's doing, the guy at Morden's gone in and done this year, what James is doing and Julian's carrying on doing. You know, it's very, very tough, and I take my hat off to him because it's not easy.
Dave?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I mean, some of the sort of pressure on James at Avely is because he's done so well at Brightlandsea.
Yeah.
And people automatically think he's going to walk in there and do the same, and we all know it's not that easy. What I look for at this time of year is sort of who's strengthening their squad. It's like Morden have gone and signed two boys that are going to score goals. It's as simple as that. So I know some people will say some teams don't need to strengthen, but I think this time of the year, if you can get one or two to add to the group that's going to benefit the group, I think that's what you need to do as a manager.
Yeah, do you know what? I think you're spot on there. I think I was probably guilty when we were right up there challenging. I was probably guilty of being a little bit too loyal to the group of players that I had and not wanting to rock the boat because we were playing so well. And that was probably, you know, that was probably one of my biggest learning curves is I should have gone out and freshened and got one or two extras. I don't think you can go and get loads in. I don't think there's any need for that.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I think we said the other week, Terry Spillane will back me up on that, I'm sure, with his time at Morden when they were up there and he went in and freshened things up a little bit too much. But yeah, I think you're right. I think Morden could be a little dark horse, right at the death, you know. They could be a right at the death. They're the ones with the momentum at the moment. They're the ones with the confidence. Bowers are probably looking over their shoulders, the position they've not been in before. So I think it would be very interesting.
And that could be one of the games we'll be talking about next week. So if I'm not mistaken, I'm sure next Saturday it's Avely at home to Morden. So that'll be another humdinger.
Yeah, absolutely. They look very strong at the moment. And look, Dean, I said it. Liam Hope, for me, I said to Dean in the week when I spoke to him, for me, Liam was one of our most influential players at Chesham. Not because he didn't go in and do what everyone expected. Everyone expected him to go in and smash goals in left, right and centre because of his time at Enfield. But his experience was invaluable. He guided young players through the game. And when he didn't play, we didn't look the same type, the same side, because he managed the game on the pitch for me. And I can't speak highly enough of him. And that could be the one that nicks it for Morden at the end of the season, that one signing.
Yeah, I back pull up with that with Liam. I tried to get him over at Welling when I found out he was available and stuff, but I couldn't get a bank loan, so I had to just wish him the best of luck, and I hope he does well there.
But with Morden, would that be a great thing for them? I mean, after all this time of sort of like being up there and then dropping away, maybe this year it's going to be out of it and pushing their way into it as such. You get almost doing it the opposite way around.
Do you know what they've done this year, mate? They've stopped with the silliness of having everybody from Colchester United.
Yeah.
The idea and the method behind it, I got it, I understood it. But non-league's non-league. and you need a core group of players that are fighting for your club rather than getting a game for Morden on a Saturday, which is, you know, no disrespect to the boys from Colchester, was probably the way they looked at it. They were more interested in their professional career than getting Morden out of the league. So they've gone back to basics, they've gone back to how it should be done. And fair play for them recognising it, and hopefully that is the one thing that gets them up.
Well, someone's asked for a shout, so great to see you watching, Thomas Allen. Thanks for watching. But yeah, I mean, it's. I think, I suppose, Berry, I mean, very all of a sudden are having quite a few decent results as well of late as well. So that's are they starting to turn it around and maybe putting a bit of pressure onto that that top sort of five places?
Yeah, definitely. They beat Romford 4-0 last Saturday, didn't they?
Mm.
And again, a club that can get big support. It's always sort of been a coach trip to Bury over the years. And when you get there, it's a decent place to play. But yeah, it's tight up there. And Coggeshall they've been on a bit of a blip recently, so there's an opportunity to sneak in there.
Yeah, Coggeshall are definitely the ones on the way down, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, they are having a bit of a wobble. you know, just speaking to a player that was there, I don't think everything is as rosy as it may look from the outside. You know, I think he's maybe catching up with him. That jump out of the league from the league below to this one is a big jump. We said it last week, I think, Dean, didn't we? It's a massive jump. And it takes a hell of a lot to keep yourself up there for a full season. And as we said a couple of weeks ago, are Coggeshall expected to go straight up first season in it? You know, you've got to be happy with staying in the league, I think.
Yeah.
And you look at like Bury Town, they sort of get 200-300 people. I see Coggeshall only got 90 last week. So in terms of that, just because of who's there, it doesn't mean that they're sort of going to go straight up, does it?
Are you surprised though? I was quite surprised by the amount of, you know, the crowds they get at home. When you think to yourself who they're, you know, one of their sort of other board members are, or, you know, in Ollie Mears, you would think, well, maybe people would turn up more often because they want to go in there and see him. Especially if they, you know, they're almost guaranteed that he's gonna turn up on, you know, every other game or wherever it might be.
As Glenn found at Billericay last year when I know sort of he was trying to promote it and trying to get crowds of 2,000. It does take time. And obviously, if you're successful, it brings people in. And obviously, the higher up you go, if you move up a league, the away teams normally bring more supporters as well. So, you can't build a club in 5 minutes. It takes a few years to get to where you want to get to.
Unless you're hashtag United, of course, because someone just put in there, what's your thoughts on them? I mean, hey, they're flying.
I know Seb really well, actually. Yeah. Everyone's got an opinion on it. They get good crowds.
Yeah.
They're doing well this year, and they've had to start at step six, haven't they? But again, I know Wormley Rovers beat them the other week. When other teams go there, they want to beat them. It's all over YouTube. It's all over social media, and their players are like superstars.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of discontent with them being put in the league, wasn't there, at the start as well? People were a little bit disappointed that they'd been put in because out of nowhere. But again, I think they can only be good for the league. You've got to want to go and play in front of big crowds. And,
people don't mind when they travel to and pull, do they?
Well, you look, let's be fair, how many sides have you seen in the Bostic playing them in a friendly?
Hornchurch
were due to play them this week, and everybody's playing them in a friendly because they know they may get a few bodies through the door.
Mm.
Yeah, and how many sort of big crowds are you going to get at step six realistically as well?
Yeah,
and they were, if I remember rightly, I think they just shows you how far they've come. They were playing Arsenal Fan TV FC last year. I mean, it's just incredible to see where they've come from. It's just.
Fantastic. I look at anyone prepared to put their own money into something and bankroll it, and I think you have to take your hat off to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they support us.
I was with them at the Wembley Cup. I went and watched the Wembley Cup a couple of months ago, and hashtag we're in it with the F2 and other teams. And the kids love them. They were good as gold with all the kids and signing autographs and all that sort of stuff. So even from a player's point of view, there's a lot of players who have played higher that want to go and play for
them. Mm. So we go back to the Morden Bury game. I mean, it's going to be I think it's going to be a tight one myself. I mean, where do you see it going?
2-1 Morden for me. Liam Hope with a winner.
I think I'd have to go Morden. Morden at home is strong. Another club that don't get massive crowds either, to be fair. Whenever I've been over, they're not massive crowds. But, yeah, I think I look at Bury and they've done this so many times where they're they're up there, they drop, then they get back up, and then they drop again. So I think it'll be 3-1 Maldon.
And that's exactly what I've put down as well, 3-1 to Maldon. So I suppose after a good result against Averley in midweek, Justin's team at home to Great Wakering Rovers, managerless Great Wakering Rovers, unless, of course, you've got the job by the weekend, Paul. but how does everybody see it going? You like green and white stripes anyway, so you'll be all right. You'll be used to it.
Just no, I don't. Way around. No. It reminds me too much of Wolf and Mabby and Dave. I like Justin. I get on well. Some people aren't his biggest fan, but you know, I think he's a bit like mine. Like, you either like him or you hate him. He's one of them. But what he does is every club he's at, he gives a 1,000,000% to pushing and promoting them, pushing and promoting the players that he's got. I've seen a tweet from him tonight.
Yeah, I have as well. Yeah,
regarding a couple of boys that are being watched, and also. A bit of karma for a player that was with him. I know that player.
So do I.
Yeah, he was with me as well. Have you rung him yet?
Well.
The question is, he didn't mention the player, did he? I didn't see the player. No, do you know who he is? Right.
Okay. Everyone knows him.
Do you know what? Look, I get where he's coming from. I do understand what he's saying. It's frustrating when players leave and go to other clubs. But what I would say is the boy is a kid. And he's finding his way, so you know they're only going to learn from the mistakes they make, they're going to make mistakes. He's a kid,
yeah.
So look, at the end of the day, with Justin, he's done a decent job there. Tough job over there. I don't anticipate there being a huge amount of money.
He signed someone tonight as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he signed a couple. Yeah, over the last couple of days, I think. Another one of my other boys, Darrell Russell's over there and doing well and scoring. Great Wakering, who knows? Because, you know, I don't know what Mr. Kimball was like over there. So it depends, doesn't it, how he was, whether he was loved or not so by the players, and whether you get a bounce from someone coming in on a caretaker.
I mean, are you surprised? I mean, I am a little bit that Barking are not a little bit higher up the league than what they are.
Not when you consider that if you look at the top five or six clubs there, you'd imagine they've got pretty big budgets and things like that. So, yeah, it's hard for sort of clubs that are lower down without the financial resources to get up there sometimes.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I think... Barking are exactly where they are, where they are for a reason.
Yeah.
Because there's only so much you can do as a manager or a coach. Every now and again you get a freak season. But I think, and I've said this on more than one occasion, I think if you went through every single division and you changed the club's name to their budget, you'll be very, very surprised to see that most of it will be the biggest budget and it will work its way down. For the large majority of things that go on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everything in life. Money gets results.
Yeah.
So where do we see this one going?
I fancy Barking 3-1.
Barking 2-0 for me, Dave.
Barking 2-0. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. And then I don't see Justin in the next week if he sees what I've just said. I suppose
I'm supposed to him on my Monday.
Do you know? To be fair to him, right? As long as you are prepared to back up what said, he's good as gold.
I mean, he's one of these characters. One of these characters, isn't he? You know, on the pitch. I mean, I've seen him plenty of times at Arlo, and the coat comes flying off, and he's going at it like 10 ton. You know. To the thing, and then after the game you talk to him, or whenever we've been doing the show and he's been watching the game, he'd always make sure he comes up and says hello. You know, if we're doing something and we're off screen or whatever, he'll always come up and take me on the show and say hello or shake hands. And he's a really lovely guy. And I suppose the way I describe him is like Dr. Jekyll and Dr. Hyde. You know what I mean? He's like, one minute, you know, once he goes past that white line on a football pitch, he's a different person, isn't he? He's very passionate.
When he was at Averley, we beat him 1-0 at Averley. And he wanted to throttle me after the game. Not in a joking way. He wanted to throttle me, and he wanted me up against the wall. 4 weeks later, he was ringing me and asking me if I'd go over and give him a hand over there if I wasn't enjoying myself.
Yeah.
yeah, he's passionate. Sometimes I think that gets a bit mistaken. I think he'd admit that maybe he's done one or two things in the past that he perhaps regrets doing it or the way he done it. But he's honest, he's up front, he works his socks off for the club he's at, and all he wants to do is be a success and the people around him to be a success as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done no problem with that at all, I think. Applaud him and take it with a pinch of salt when he does things that he shouldn't.
And you just get, you know, sometimes in non-league football you get dipsticks, like the person that's just put a message up on the screen. I won't even read it, I won't even give him airtime, but there you go, trying to help non-league football out, and someone comes up with a statement like that. Thanks very much for that, we appreciate the message. I suppose the star game of the week then, I suppose, is Marlow against Chesson. Should be a good game. I suppose one of the persons we should say is get well soon to Jason Hallett after a horrific injury last weekend, and if anybody doesn't know, of course, he fractured his skull at the weekend. But I mean, it sounded as if it was a bit of a game last weekend. I spoke to one of the elderly people from there who popped into the shop during the week and said, like, you know, they had literally had an ambulance. Well, could have had an ambulance over there twice last weekend.
Yeah, because he too played for me at Wingate. Ibrahim Conte got injured as well, didn't he? Mm. So yeah, obviously it was a feisty old game over there last week.
Mm. Yeah, I suppose Jason Saturday night, bless him, he told me what had happened. Well, I spoke to him Saturday night, told me what had happened, and then run me Sunday to tell me exactly the same as he told me the night before, and he didn't remember actually speaking to me. So yeah, I think he's obviously gutted because he's got a slight crack in his forehead, which is going to rule him out for at least 6 weeks. And dependent on how it looks once the swelling goes down, I think it may prolong it because he may have to have an operation. But what they've said is cosmetically it might not look great, and I just said you're ugly anyway, Jay, so I wouldn't worry about it. But
what a goal machine though.
Well, he is the best forward I've ever worked with. He's an animal when it comes to scoring goals. And you knew. So I think it's the only forward I've ever worked with that you knew you were getting 30 goals out of him. Regardless, you were getting 30 goals, and that money can't buy that. Money can't buy that.
But that's going to be a massive loss to Chesson, isn't it? You know, I mean, if he's out for this time of the season as well, I mean, you know, it's a massive loss for Craig.
Yeah, he's been scoring their goals, hasn't he? But look, Craig's not daft. He's been in it longer than most, and he'll go out and find someone else to get in, and or maybe two or three players that may be able to contribute what Jason contributes. But you know, they'll be confident going into the weekend. It's a big old game, I think. For me, if they don't win the game Saturday, that'll be them completely ruled out of winning the league. And then they're obviously fighting for a playoff place, but that's very, very tight as well. And all of a sudden, they could be dropping out depending on results.
Mm. I mean, that division as well, he's going to be, the playoffs at the end of the season are going to be unbelievable, aren't they? You know, there, because there's going to be four top sides in that playoffs, as well as in the north as well. It's going to be real humdinger of a playoffs.
Yeah, special mention to Westfield as well. They're a good side when we went there with Norfolk, and they've been flying. They're winning. I don't know how many games they've won on the bounce now, but they're in the playoffs, and yeah, fair play to them. Good side.
Mm.
The other ones you look at, David Ware creeping up.
Yeah.
Creeping up in the area. How many times have you seen a side sneak in right towards the death and be the ones that go up? So
don't write off Tooting either.
I think Tooting's still running up there. At all, but I think, you know, fair play to Paul Wolsey and say, like to him set on Monday, congratulations. I think he's done a great job there. Well done to him, and nothing would give me great pleasure than see them in the playoffs.
Mm. So just looking over the top of my scene, I've just seen that Qatar are beating Japan to win the Asia Cup.
3-1, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think that was a bit earlier, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, incredible. But I mean, with Marlow, though, I mean, Marlow don't concede many goals either, do they?
No, another side that having a really good season. Mm. Defensively strong. They went for a long time, didn't they, where they'd only conceded sort of like 8 or 9 league goals, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think are they still second at the moment?
Yeah.
So yeah, they'll be looking to at least get in the playoffs. And yeah, I can't see anyone sort of beating Hazen yet into the league. But it's the playoffs will be worth watching.
Yeah, I mean, 9 points clear Hazen Yedin, and they've literally got a game in hand as well.
Yeah.
And their goal difference. My goodness, I've just looked at it.
Plus 66.
That's incredible.
That's three goals. Yeah.
Looking at Marlow, man, they've conceded 19 goals in 23 league games. Mm.
That's why they're up there. Yeah.
Yeah, and the worst bit is if you're going to be playing teams like that don't concede goals, you need Jason Allitt to get that one goal, that one chance that comes along, don't you?
Mm.
It's definitely a difficult one to call. It wouldn't shock me for it to be a draw.
Mm. Dean?
I think Marlow 1-0.
Marlow 1-0?
For the first time in a long time, I'm going to go 1-0.
I want to go. I've just got a sneaky suspicion. I think it could end up being 2-0 with Jason being out. I just don't see. You can't see where the goals might be coming for Chesson. But again, I don't particularly want to see Craig Edwards in a dark alley if I'm giving that one out, as well as Justin Gardner.
Imagine them two coming at you together.
Yeah, mate. You certainly would be running in the opposite direction. So let's have a quick look then at some of the other games that are going on over the. Hopefully going on over the weekend, shall we say. Bishop Stortford against Mersham. Bognor Regis against Tonbridge Angels. That's another big game there. Brighton.
Great win for Tonbridge last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Brighton C against Whitehawk. And Brighton C are picking up results as well. And they're sort of like off the radar a little bit, aren't they? But they're just picking up result after result after result.
Yeah, I watched them against Pottsbar Town a couple of weeks ago and they were good value for the win. And like you say, without being disrespectful, probably one of the smallest clubs in the Bostic Prem. For them to sort of have picked up a few good results, fair play to them. Mm.
They're 4 points off the playoffs.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it?
Playoffs, that's crazy, really. But yeah, I mean, you look at Mersham as well. Mersham have flown up the league, haven't they?
I remember, I think it was Dean said to us, Glenn said to us that Mersham were in trouble and that he thought they might struggle this season, and since then they ain't stopped winning.
Yeah, they've flown right up, sitting in third, and again, another exciting league. Haringey were a few points clear and have managed to let that slip a little bit. Show their character now, won't it? And they're togetherness as a group to stay in. But I ain't being funny. If you'd offered them a playoff place at the start of the season, they'd have snapped both your arms off.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, other games in there. They're Brighton C against Whitehawk. Enfield Town versus Margate. Another humdinger. Haringey versus Burgess Hill Town. And Aki was a bit concerned about that one. He said because they seem to be getting beaten by the teams that are at the bottom of the table. Kingstonian against Worthing, Leatherhead versus Wingate and Finchley, and Potters Bar Town. Well, if I was Potters Bar Town, I don't think I'd even set off because I don't think that one's going to be on for a minute. Yeah, they're going to Lewis. In the North Division, it's Basildon against Dereham. Now, that could be interesting because two teams that are down that sort of area, but both sort of teams that are in a little bit of form at a minute as well.
Yeah, Neil's done well at Basildon since he took over. He had to obviously settle things down a little bit. He's picked up some good results recently, so I'm pleased with him.
And Dereham has got a couple of decent draws as well.
Yeah, I mean, they struggled at the start, didn't they, when he went in, just getting finding their feet. And as you, I'm sure you can back me up on again, Dean, is you've got to get in, get your methods across, haven't you, which takes a little bit of time. But yeah, they've picked up some good results in the back-to-back wins. Dereham, since the manager's gone and they've changed the manager over, they've picked up some great results. But you know, they're, what are they now? They are 9 points off of safety.
Mm.
So it's a big ask for them. They've got to win, haven't they? Basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Brentwood versus AFC Sudbury, Canby Island versus Averley. Felix Stowe versus Heybridge Swifts, Greys versus Coggeshall, Mildenhall Town versus Surham Town Rangers, another big game down the bottom end, and Witham Town versus Tilbury. See any shocks in that lot?
Yeah, I think
if they go
ahead. A massive game for Mildenhall. I know a few of the Mildenhall boys, and having seen their fixtures coming up, it's Saturday's a must win.
Yeah, Sutton picked a few good results up as well, haven't they, of late?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to the South Central, into the Jigsaw League. Bracknell versus Uxbridge. FC Romania versus Shelford and St Peter. Hayes and Yedding versus Hartford Town. Molesley versus Bedford Sports. Tooting and Mitcham versus Egham. Waltham Abbey versus Chipstead. Ware versus Hanwell Town. And Westfield versus Ashford Town. Well, there's not too much snow about down this area, so hopefully the Waltham Abbey game might be on tomorrow.
Yeah, and I see Paul tweeted about sort of fixing the Astro. He's been sweeping, or someone's been sweeping down there, so they'll be hoping to play tomorrow, but where we'll be, yeah.
Yeah, you look at that Hartford one, they're not careful, Hartford. They're going to get dragged right into it. Just a really strange season for them over there. And let's be honest, they've got Hayes and Yedding.
You don't fancy that one, do you?
No.
Hartford seem to have lost a few players this week as well, don't they?
Yeah, they're really, really struggling. Well, I mean, I think, again, I don't know because I'm not involved, but I think the money's been pulled away down there, so that's why I think we're seeing players wandering away.
Into Keith's League then, it's East Grinstead versus Horsham, Hastings United versus Guernsey. You want that one called off early, don't you, if it's... in all fairness...
I'm still trying to organise that game, Guernsey away.
God, yeah.
You've got to line up your pre-season now, mate.
If they want a pre-season, give me a shout.
Yeah. I'll give you Mr. Letizia's telephone number afterwards. I've got it.
Yeah, we'll come over there for a pre-season.
Haywards Heath versus Faversham. Hive Town versus Three Bridges. Phoenix Sports versus Sittingbourne. Ramsgate versus Greenwich Borough. And Keith goes to Winstable Town.
You look at Phoenix, have really dropped away from it all, haven't they? They were really, really pushing and going for it at the start of the season, but they've dropped right out of it. Strange. Like I say, we've said it before, I said it earlier on, it's tough to keep yourself up there.
So where do you see the shock in that league then?
Don't know, mate, don't know enough about it.
Guernsey to beat Hastings?
Where's it at, Guernsey?
No, at Hastings.
Hastings,
we said that last week.
Herb Bay will win 5-1. So
if Guernsey give me a pre-season, I'll say Guernsey to win.
But I mean, looking at the tables, I mean, looking at the Premier table, I mean, Dorking at the top with 53, Haringey with 52, Mersham with 47, Lewis with 45, Bognor with 43. Folkestone and Tonbridge on 42, Enfield and Kingstonian and Worthing on 41. And Worthing have dropped away, haven't they? Dramatically. They were right up there. This time last year, it was the other way round. And this season, it seems like they've dropped off quite quickly there from in those sort of playoffs.
Glenn mentioned, didn't he, about Worthing. They're probably, I know they have got some experience in there, but they're quite a young side. And I wonder if that's taken an effect, like why they've dropped off a little bit.
Yeah. I was speaking to Aki on Monday night, and you know we were saying to him now. I said, "Surely now you'd be disappointed now if they didn't make the playoffs now." I mean, it's 10 points now, adrift. But the interesting game, if you don't know it, if it stays, is if the points difference between him and Dorking stay the same, the last game of the season is Dorking against Haringey Borough. That is the last game of the season.
Massive.
But yeah, like Paul said, Haringey would have taken a playoff spot at the start of the season, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Haringey
would have took staying up.
Yeah, probably.
They'd be disappointed, but you know.
I mean, looking at the bottom, Whitehall bottom 26-21, Birdiesville Town 26-24, Wingate Finchley 25-25, Harlow out of the bottom three now. Harlow played 27-26. Hornchurch 27-27, Potts Bar 27-29. But of course, this weekend Harlow don't play because they were, I think if I'm right in saying, were scheduled to play Carr Shorten, who we've got to give a big shout out to as well. And all the best for them against Barnet at the weekend in the trophy. But, you know, it could be one of those things if Wingate and Finchley or, you know, Burgess Hill get a win at the weekend, then they find themselves back in the bottom three without playing.
Yeah, and I think the team that's sort of struggling a little bit are Potts Bar. They're only losing by the odd goal, and I know they got a good point against Bognor recently, but
I don't know, if you look at their last 10 games, they probably wouldn't have won too many in the last 10.
Mm. Somebody said to me the other day that they expect it to be the bottom three to go down were Whitehawk, Potters Bar and Margate were the three they said they thought was going to go.
Wasn't the Herne Bay fan, was it?
No, he wasn't. No, I won't say it was, but...
it was, I'm putting a bet on.
Yeah, but I mean, literally, what your thoughts? Do you think Margate are just having a nightmare, aren't they? The nightmare of a season.
Yeah, I think they've got enough financial clout to get out of it if they need to.
Yeah, I agree with Paul. I don't see Margate getting relegated.
So, Potters Bar look like the ones, don't they? They're really struggling at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, they're hugely punching above their weight. You know, and again, for them to be even being spoke about being in the Bostic Premier, you know, hats off to them. But it's a slippery slope. As much as winning's a habit, losing's a horrible habit to have.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, and James done a great job there with Steve at Potters Bar, and obviously James leaving and going to Chesham has obviously had a massive effect on the team and the club as well.
Mm. Well, I'm just having a look at the form table for the Bostic North. Want to have a guess who the bottom three are in the form table for the last six games?
Mildenhall.
Yeah.
Oh, just trying to have a look. Let's have a look.
Coggeshaw.
No, Coggeshaw are actually 15th. The bottom three are Dereham, Romford and Mildenhall, and Grays and Brentwood Town all on four. Bowers and Pitsey, 15 points out of six. Canby Island, who of course face Averley tomorrow, 13 out of, from six. Heybridge 13 from 6. Sandtown Rangers in 4th, 12 from 6. Morden, Tiptree, Averley and Whittam have all got 11 from 6. Surprised by any of those? Sandtown Rangers?
Yeah, look, they were struggling. But again, I think we've said it before, it's such a strange league. You can go from being bottom, put 2, 3, 4 wins together and all of a sudden you're mid-table, maybe pushing a playoff place. Yeah. I had many an argument with certain chairmen about don't panic about where we are at this particular time in the season because it's so unpredictable, the league, and everyone can beat everybody. You know, Dereham have made the change. They're picking up. Soham have found some form. Mildenhall all look like the side that are going to struggle because they don't look like they can buy a result at the moment. So... it's a difficult league. I don't think it'll be decided until the last 2-3 weeks of the season.
Well, we were saying a couple of weeks ago, if you remember, we were saying, oh, Basildon in trouble. All of a sudden, two wins and they're up the 14th.
Yeah. It's an odd league. It really is.
Anthony Mercer's just come in and said Soham were an excellent side last week. And they've got some firepower, haven't they? I mean, Sam already up there as well. I mean, you know, he's a quality striker.
Yeah, I know. Speaking to the guys up there when I was at Chesham and at Waltham Abbey, and I know they struggle to keep players because they've got no disrespect to them, but they've got bigger clubs that can go and just take them away and offer them more money than they can. It's a lovely club. They look after you when you go there. Pitch isn't the greatest, but it's a nice place to go. I hope they keep pulling out of it, and I hope they stay up because they're a lovely club to go and visit. Mm.
Dean? Played Soham?
Played
Soham?
No, I haven't, to be honest. I know Benny Hart went up there for a few games a couple of years ago, but yeah, no, I haven't really played them over the years, mate, to be honest.
Mm. And listen, Just to sort of finish off with, I suppose, and I mean, I suppose just interested in your thoughts on this one, really. Not necessarily Bostic related, but Chelsea losing 4-0 to Bournemouth. That's just unbelievable, isn't it?
Well, I support QPR, mate, so I'm not bothered.
the manager's got problems there, hasn't he? Manager's definitely got problems, sorry. For me, I don't like the way football's going. I don't like the fact that the players have got so much control. And Chelsea players seem to throw their toys out of the pram if they don't like what's happening and the manager gets a sack and they'll have another one in place. Mm.
Yeah. But what a great job Eddie Howe's done at Bournemouth, though.
Oh, he deserves a big job now for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I met him once. So I met him before, and top bloke. And you know, sort of when you meet people, some people they sort of don't really want to talk to you, do they? But yeah. I could still be chatting to him now. He telling me about football and all that sort of stuff. Real, real nice bloke.
Well, Andy Wilkins has just come in and said Bostic North will always be a weird old league. 1 week you can be in the top five, and 3 weeks later you can be in the bottom five if you lose miserably. Always key to get good results throughout and not have too many off days. Well, just looked at the clock, guys, and the time just absolutely flown by yet again. But a massive thank you for everybody that's watched tonight. A massive thank you, of course, to Dean, to Paul. Joining me and Paul and Dean next week, hopefully, fingers crossed, if it comes through, is the chairman at Epping FC, Chris Ottaway. He will join us as our guest next week. Of course, don't forget to join me and Keith. We'll be live with the Isthmian show on Monday night, where we've got Paul and Mark Halsey will be joining us. Keith will give us an update on what went on yesterday with his telephone conversation with the Ref Association as well. So it'll be a big old show on Monday night. But as I said, yet again, a massive thank you to Paul, massive thank you to Dean. Let's just hope it's not too much of postponement bingo tomorrow, but looking out the window, possibly might well be. But until then, me, Dean and Paul, we'll see you next week with the Repos Isthmian preview show. Until then, good night.